Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah, and we find our way to Isaiah chapter number 39. Isaiah and chapter number 39. In preparation for this message, I've been telling you that tonight we're going to teach a principle that was taught to me about 25 years ago. And it was one of those principles that changed my life when I grabbed a hold of it, understood this principle. It's something I think about from time to time. It's something that helps put me in order. It helps me to make sure that I'm trying to do things decently in order. It's such an important principle. And I want you to grab a hold of the same thing that was taught to me from this passage here. Now remember that we're in a section right now that's dealing with the historical times of Isaiah and specifically King Hezekiah. That we talked about the Assyrian army surrounding Jerusalem and God destroying 185,000 Assyrians. This morning we saw where Hezekiah was sick unto death and that he was told to put his affairs into order, that he was going to die. We saw him pray and talk to the Lord and that God granted him a healing. And he said that he was going to use his life and whatever was left to try to use it for the Lord. Now, we come to another part in King Hezekiah's life. We find it in the book of Isaiah chapter number 39. Isaiah chapter number 39. And look with me if you don't mind. Isaiah 39 in verse 1. And at the time of Merodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he had heard that he had been sick and was recovered. And Hezekiah was glad of them and showed them the house of his precious things, the silver and gold and spices and precious ointment, and all the house of his armor, and all that he was found in treasures. And there was nothing in his house, nor in his dominion, that Hezekiah showed them not. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah, and said unto him, what said these men, and from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, they come from a far country, even unto me, even from Babylon. And he said, what have they seen in thy house? And Hezekiah answered, all that is in mine house they have seen. There was nothing among my treasures that I have not shown them. Then said Isaiah to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up store unto this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that thou shalt issue from thee, which thou shalt take, shall begot, they shall take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Then said Hezekiah to Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. He had said, moreover, for there shall be peace and truth in my days. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, mark a phrase. We're going to break it up or take it from two different places in verse number 8 and put it together. Notice the phrase, peace in my days. Peace in my days. And I'd like to teach you a principle based off of this statement here, peace in my days. And I'd like to teach you a very important Bible principle that we're going to show is a trap that many other good men of God have fallen into. This phrase, peace in my days. Let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come to you, we're just asking that you would just help give us understanding. Help this passage, help this principle that's changed my life to be able to be relayed correctly, biblically, in context. And that we could see how important this principle is, and that you would strengthen someone today. Strengthen them up in the battle. Strengthen them up in the fight. Help us not to be weary in well-doing. Lord, you guide and direct. You put this message the way that you see fit, the way that it needs to be ordered, to communicate it properly. Grab the hearts and understanding of every single person in here that they could hear and that it could help. Lord, you do a supernatural work, an everlasting work, an eternal work tonight. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you don't mind, we're just going to hit the context of this really quick to kind of build up towards this principle. Let's see Hezekiah's moment of weakness. So we know that Hezekiah got sick and that he was pretty bad off. After the Assyrian threat kind of died down a little bit, ambassadors from Babylon came. Now, in this time of history, you know, we have the benefit of foresight, of 2020 sight of history. We could see what is going to happen. But at this time, the Assyrians were the biggest threat. But after God killed 185,000 of them, it's now going to start the trail of the Assyrian Empire getting weaker and weaker and weaker. Now, in the earlier parts of Isaiah, we made sure that we put a big emphasis that God kept telling the people during Isaiah's day that Assyria is not your biggest threat. Babylon is. Babylon right now doesn't look like it's a threat, but it is. Remember that at this time, if you're not familiar with history, the Assyrian Empire covers the entire range of what we would call Mesopotamia. Mesopotamia means the land between the two rivers, between the Tigris and the Euphrates. And that Babylon is a province inside of this empire. So it doesn't look like it's a threat because it's just like it's Texas in the middle of the United States. It's part of it. But Babylon was always considered a religious city. It was always like Rome. You know, no matter what would happen, people said, let's not touch Rome. It's a holy city. It's an important city. It's like Mecca today. We don't touch Mecca. We don't mess with Mecca because it's a religious city. It's important to religion. The same thing was with Babylon at this time. So Babylon always had a special place with the Assyrian Empire. And at this time, they are trying to work to get independence, and by the way, they are going to overthrow the Assyrian Empire. And this is the legwork they're starting to do. They're beginning to send ambassadors out now that the Assyrian army has been decimated to a degree, and they've sent out ambassadors to these kings just to start building relations. So Hezekiah thought he was special. Remember that Judah and Jerusalem is only a very small, if I remember correctly, that Israel today is about the size of New Jersey. It's not that big. So Hezekiah found out that these big ambassadors were coming from Babylon, and they wanted to see me, and they wanted to see how great I was. They heard that I was sick. They wanted to say, oh man, we heard you were sick. We want to let you know we're with you. And Hezekiah felt good that these important people were coming to see him. We all have an element of pride in us. We all want that attaboy. We want people to look and see how great we are. So Hezekiah has these ambassadors. He wants to show off how great he is. He wants to show off how good his kingdom is. Let's just kind of read and get the context now. At the time of Merodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, the king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he heard that he had been sick and was recovered. And Hezekiah was glad of them and showed them the house of his precious things, the silver, the gold, the spices, the precious ointment, the house of his armor, and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house, nor in his dominion, that Hezekiah showed them not. So Hezekiah because of pride, says, let's show you everything. Look, this is my gold room. Look at all my gold. This is my silver room. This is my weapons. This is my store. This is this stronghold. Look at this. From this stronghold here, we can defend here. Look at the army here. Let's see inside of the base. Let's go behind this door. Let's check. He showed them everything. He missed the guy who was in his notepad writing notes. Yeah. This is where this is at. This is where this is at. What they're doing is they're doing an inspection because they're planning on taking over the world. And if they can have ambassadors who go in and spy out what they have, what treasures they have, what their weaknesses are, what their strengths are, how to defeat this. This is what they're doing is they're planning on destroying Jerusalem. And by the way, they do in 586 BC. Hezekiah, because of his pride, does not know that he is actually ushering in destruction. He is actually setting up the downfall of his nation. Notice as it goes on. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah and said unto him, what said these men? And from whence they came unto thee? And Hezekiah said, they come from a far country unto me, even to Babylon. Then said he, what have they seen in thy house? And Hezekiah said, all that is in my house they have seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not shown them. Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that thy fathers have laid up in store to this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left. Isaiah said, guess what? Because of your pride, nothing you have is going to be left. Everything is going to be taken to Babylon. And that's a true statement. We could see that the things that were inside of the temple were in Babylon. They had a big party using God's stuff. We find that predicted in Isaiah and carried out in the book of Daniel. Everything is taken. Even the people, Daniel, Ezekiel, Mordecai, all of those people later on we see in the Bible were all taken. All because Hezekiah, out of his pride, wanted to show everyone. But notice this. Verse 7. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shall begot, they shall be taken away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. So, Hezekiah, your descendants are going to be taken to Babylon. They're going to be made eunuchs. By the way, if you're not familiar, this is a surgery on men. How would you like to be told that your lineage is not going to carry on, that your children are going to be made, your grandchildren are going to be made where they can't have children? And another passage, it talks about that their eyes are going to be plucked out. There's a lot of bad things that are going to happen. How would you like to be told that your grandkids and your great-grandkids are going to suffer because of what you did? They're going to suffer. They're going to be brought into slavery. They're going to be kept captive. They're going to be mutilated. They're going to have awful things happen to you. How would you respond to hear this news? Well, let's see what Hezekiah said. Verse number 8. Then said Hezekiah to Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord, which is spoken. What's good about this? He says, okay. Sounds good. What? How is this good? Notice why he thinks it's good. He said, moreover, for there shall be peace and truth in my day. Hezekiah, these things are going to happen to your kids. Because of this, this is what's going to happen to your grandkids. And he says, okay. As long as I have peace in my day, as long as it doesn't happen to me, I don't care what happens to my kids or grandkids. I don't care about the consequences as long as there's peace in my day. Which brings us to the principle. The principle here is desiring peace today and ignoring future consequences. Now, this is a common thing for parents today. Let's say that there's a parent. As the kid grows up, he wants to try to do his own thing. And so he wants to listen to rock music but it's not allowed in the house. But the kid wants to listen to his own thing. And so the parent gets tired of fighting with the kid and says, fine, just put on earphones as long as there's peace. All I want is quiet. I don't want to fight anymore. I don't want to argue with the kids. I don't want to discipline them. I just want peace now. And the problem with that is that without the parent fighting, by the way, it's a fight to be a parent, you have to stand up and tell them no. You have to say you can't do that. You have to win the fight and say you can't do this. This is what you need to do. Do your dishes. Take out the trash. Do your chores. Get a job. This is what you have to do. It is a fight. Any parent realizes it is a fight. Parents are tired because of the fight. But people get to the place where they say, all I want is peace. The problem with that is that they don't want to fight anymore. They give up the battle and they allow the consequences to happen to their kids. I don't care how my kid, I don't care if my kid grows up and is a bad person. I don't care if my kid grows up, ruins their life, as long as there's peace in my day. As long as I don't have to fight with them anymore. They could do whatever they want. They could ruin their life. As long as I have peace in my day. Good is the word of the Lord. There is nothing good about this sentence. There is nothing good to know that your kids and your grandkids and your great-grandkids are going to suffer because you gave up the fight. As long as there's peace in my day. I want to tell you, it is hard to do the right thing. It is hard to keep up the fight, not just being a parent, but in the Christian life. It's a fight. I got to read my Bible every day. It is a fight to do so. But you could say, you know what? I don't want to fight anymore. I give up. I'm just going to let it go. As long as I have peace in my day, knowing that there's future consequences, I don't care what about the consequences of the future. As long as there's peace in my day. You understand? It is hard to keep up the fight as a church because people are against us. Why do you have the Bible? Why do you have to stick with that King James Bible? Why can't we use something else? It's a constant fight. It's a constant fight to keep biblical music. Why can't we have more contemporary stuff? Why can't we put a drums in here? Why can't we do this? And it's a constant fight. And after a while, people get tired of fight and they just want peace. But the problem with the peace now is the consequences that come later. You understand? This is a biblical principle. Throughout the Bible, we see illustrations of people, a lot of people who were very important in the fight. One of the principles we find is people who started off well, but they ended horribly. Why? They stopped fighting. Peace in my day. May I just quickly to illustrate this point, may I give you several Bible examples of people who may have started off well, but they didn't finish well because they gave up the fight. They said, peace in my day. Let's start off with Eli. Eli was a high priest. But the problem with Eli is he failed to discipline his children. Eli was the high priest. He had started his service with dedication. Yet as time passed, he allowed complacency to affect his leadership. His sons Hophni and Phinehas served along with him, but their actions were corrupt. They desecrated sacrifices. They took advantage of people. They dishonored the Lord. And Eli knew of their sin and refused to correct it. Finally, God had enough and said, because you refuse to discipline your kids, he says, you're going to be removed from the priesthood. Your entire family can no longer be high priest because you refuse to discipline your kids. You see, the thing was, is he loved his kids more than the Lord. He loved his kids so much he refused to correct them because he wanted peace in his day. And his kids dishonored him at the very end, and they lost the entire priesthood. They lost their place of honor that God had given to them just because he didn't want to fight anymore. I don't want to discipline my kids. It's too hard. I'd rather them ruin the lives and ruin the testimony. I'd rather deal with the consequences in the future than have peace just so I could have peace for my day. Let's move on. One of the greatest Bible teachers there was in the Bible, Samuel. This is the same Samuel who didn't let a single word of God hit the ground. But his problem, he was too busy with the ministry to raise his kids. There was a famous American evangelist. I may say his name and you may know him. He was a pastor. He actually went to his kids and pulled them aside and said, listen, God has given me the responsibility of saving America. I don't have time to raise you. You understand, he failed in his first work. His first work was his homework. And by the way, his kids did bring dishonor to him. You understand? He decided that ministry was too important. I need to spend more time in ministry. I'm serving God. I don't have time to raise my kids. And his kids dishonored him so much that when he was about ready to turn over the leadership to them, the people rebelled and said, we'd rather have a king. We don't want them ruling over us. You did a horrible job. Your kids are awful. We don't want them. They took bribes. They took things for personal gain. They perverted judgment. This failure just caused where now they wanted a king rather than allow Samuel's kids to continue to judge and rule over them because he refused to take care of his kids. The ministry is more important. I don't want to fight with the kids. I've got something better to do. I don't want to take the time. As long as there's peace in my day, and it had consequences that affected the entire nation because God told them later on, having a king is not what you want. All because Samuel got too busy in the ministry to spend time with his kids. Then you had David. Here is King David, the one who slew Goliath, the one that God said was a man after God's own heart, the sweetest psalmist of Israel. The problem with him, he refused to discipline his kids. He let his kids do whatever they wanted, even to the place where he had one son rape his sister. And David did nothing. He didn't want to fight with it. I don't want to mess with it. He did nothing. And then when he had another son kill the rapist's brother, and David did nothing. I just want peace of my time. Because of this, the kingdom went to civil war because of Absalom's rebellion. Because of this, David's name was marred. Because of this, the kids died. Because of this, each of his kids, the most dangerous place in all of the kingdom for David's family was his own home because he wouldn't put discipline. Isn't that scary? The home should be the place where you're the most protected, where you are the safest. However, when there's no discipline in the home, anything goes. This is why we hear so many reports of family members doing awful things to other family members. Just as long as there's peace in my time, I don't care about the future consequences. What a horrible thing. As long as there's peace in my days. But that's not all. Let's go to Solomon. Solomon, who survived David's household, namely because he was younger than all the mess that had occurred. Solomon began his life well. He had wisdom beyond measure. He had God speak to him directly twice, which was a very rare thing. God does not speak directly to people. He had it happen twice. And yet Solomon's heart began to drift away. He got to the place where he is king. I just want peace. I don't want to fight anymore. Of course, when he have 1,000 wives, there's not going to be much peace. Fine, whatever makes you happy, honey, we don't have to go to church today. Honey, if it makes you happy, we don't have to serve God today. Honey, if it makes you feel better, fine, we'll serve your God. Honey, if it makes you feel better, I just want peace. I don't want the nagging. I know that you don't like what I'm doing. I know I'm trying to set up rules that you don't like. Fine, I'll get rid of the rules as long as there's peace in my house. And there's so many spouses today that give up the fight. They know that they should be right, but they give up the fight because they get tired of running into the wall over and over because their spouse doesn't want to participate. Their spouse doesn't want to serve the God. Their spouse doesn't want to go to church. And they feel like it's easier just to give up. Stop the fight. I'll just give in. If you don't want to go to church, fine, I'll stay home too. And they give up the fight because I'd rather have peace in my days and deal with the consequences later. You understand this is a principle that affects every single one of us. Because let me tell you that the Christian life is about building and battling. And both of them are tiring. We get tired of laboring. We understand we've had a week, couple weeks full of labor. We are tired now. And you know what your flesh wants to do? Stop. Give up. Let's not move forward. I just want peace. I just want rest. I don't want to go forward. The Christian life is building and battling. There is no victory without building and battling. And we get tired of the fight. We get tired of trying to live the Christian life. We get tired of being oppressed by our own self, our own flesh. We get tired. I got to fight to get my Bible reading in. Yes, it's a fight. Well, it's just maybe easier if I have peace in my day, if I just don't fight for it. But there's consequences when that happens. Listen, I have to fight to pray, and I just don't feel like fighting today, so I'm just not going to pray. As long as I have peace in my day. And there's consequences. There's a fight to live the Christian life. You know, some days it's easier to act like a heathen because it takes a lot of work to keep our testimony. It takes a lot of work to keep our tongue. Some of us know it takes a lot of work to battle to keep that old tongue in there. And sometimes it's easier just to let that thing fly. Just, I don't care no more. The next person I see, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. And destroy things. Have consequences. Because you give up the fight. I don't want to fight no more. I'm tired of the fight. And by the way, this is common. This is a principle that will go on. That we get to the place where we get tired of the fight. We get tired of pressing on. Pastors allow churches to turn to unbiblical things because they get tired of constantly fighting and say, no, we're going to stick with the old book. No, we're going to stick with the old past. And they finally give up and they said, I'm tired of the fight. I'm tired of battling. I'm tired. These people are always against me and trying to push these new things. And I'm tired of telling them no. Homes get that away. Teenagers are a handful. And they said, I just get tired. I just want peace. Not realizing that the consequences that will occur later are going to be a lot more devastating than if we kept up the fight. If we kept up the fight and allow them to turn out, it's going to be worth it. But we get tired. We get tired. This principle shows us over and over in the Bible, person after person, someone who started off well. You go to the New Testament. You have Demas who worked alongside Paul. Paul called him a fellow helper. Paul called him well. Then next thing you know, Demas had forsaken me, loving this present world. What happened? He got tired of the fight. He got tired of the building and the battling. It was just easier just to stop fighting and just ride it out. To have peace in my days. And there was consequences. over and over, you see this as a biblical principle. To see someone who started off strong, and at the very end, you watch the rest of their life fall apart. I gave you just a few examples. I could give you more. Uzzah, king of Israel, started off good. At the end, failed as a leper, kicked out of his own castle, his own reign, because he had leprosy. Because he got tired of the fight and tried to do something he wasn't supposed to. Over and over, this idea, as long as there's peace in my days, what do we do about this? You're like, preacher, I can understand this, but what do we do? Well, protect our families and finishing well. The principle is that we have to keep going. Turn with me, if you don't mind, Galatians 6:9. The book of Galatians, chapter 6 and verse 9. Let's just see this in context. Galatians 6, let's start in verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let's pause there. It's using farming tool terminology. And we have the principle that what you reap is what you're going to sow. Galatians 6, that was 7 and 8. A farmer, we're getting ready for planting season. When they plant, they're going to plant. And what they're expecting is, first of all, that it's going to grow up later than what you expected. Listen, I'd love to discipline my kid and then get it right away. But it happens later. Being consistent, it happens later. What we reap now is what we're going to sow later. We know that we're going to sow exactly, or we're going to reap exactly what we sowed. If I sowed grain, I'm going to reap grain. If I discipline my kids and raise them biblically, that's what it's going to come out to. If I decide not to, then they're going to grow up non-disciplined. What I sow is what I'm going to reap. We get more than what we sowed. It's going to reap benefits either way. The Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. There's no shortcut. You could say, I stop fighting. And guess what? You're going to get the results of that stop fighting. Every time. Notice in verse 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due reason we shall reap if we faint not. That word faint means to quit. That word faint here carries this principle. Peace in my day. That we know that the Christian life is building and battling. And there are times that we get tired. Let me tell you, you need to guard yourself to make sure you could be tired in the work, but you can never be tired of the work. We have to be plugged into God. We have to be dependent upon Him. We have to keep looking up to Him. Because let me tell you, to try to do things and live the Christian life on your own is impossible. We have to be dependent upon God. Weary and well-doing carries an idea that I'm doing it my own strength. Listen, if you try to raise your kids in your own strength, you're going to wear yourself out to the place where you said, I can't do this anymore. You have to be plugged into God. You have to be disciplined to God. Listen, to pastor a church, to be in the ministry, it's a constant fight and it's a constant battle. And if I'm not plugged into the Lord and I start doing it my own strength, I'll get to the place where I quit and say, I forget it. I can't do this anymore. By the way, this principle still applies. 25 years later, after I've heard this, I still think about this. And there are times that my flesh wants to quit. You're like, you preacher? Yeah. You thought about quitting the church? Yes. It'd be much easier to go teach in a Bible college than pastor. Doesn't mean I'm leaving, but I'm telling you, I have temptations too. There are times when, fine, I don't care. You do whatever you want. I'm tired of dealing with it. But I can't do that because there's consequences to it. The constant battling and battling. It doesn't stop. The fight never stops. But we have to see what the consequences are if we stop fighting. Sure, all these bad things will happen as long as there's peace in my day. This is a powerful principle we have to get across. We have to determine that we're not going to stop the fight. We're going to do what we're supposed to. We're going to raise the kids that we ought to. We're going to keep the stand as we ought to. We're going to keep doing what God's given us to. We're going to depend upon Him and not our own strength. We're not going to be weary in well-doing. We're going to realize that we're going to reap if we faint not. Because if we quit, there's awful consequences. Consequences that will affect generations. Every single one of those examples I gave you earlier affected generations. Eli's lack of disciplining his kids, consequences for generations. Samuel refusing, loving the ministry, invested in the ministry, but rather his kids, consequences. David, horrible consequences that affected his family. Solomon, consequences that divided the country and made it two different countries and robbed people of the promises of God because he got tired of the fight. I know we're tired, and we should have a good tired, but we shouldn't get to the place where we say, I can't do this anymore, I quit. We need to be recharging ourselves in the Lord, resting in Him, and just determine that we're going to keep doing what's right. We're going to keep moving forward. We're going to raise the kids that we ought to. We're going to endure the struggles. We're going to endure the fight because we understand this principle that if I say, as long as there's peace in my day, I just want quiet, I just want peace, there's going to be consequences that are much worse. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Let's determine that we're going to keep going forward in God's power and let Him get the victories. I hope that this principle helps and transforms you like it did me. I think about this all the time. Whenever I get to the place where I feel like I can't do this anymore, I don't want to fight this anymore, I don't want to deal with this anymore, I realize that if I don't, the consequences are dire. Let's pray. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.